Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Just before Andrew comes to bring God's word to us, I'm just going to pray as he speaks. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, the only truth on which we can depend. And I pray that as Andrew comes now, that we wouldn't hear him talking, we'd hear you speaking to our hearts. So I just pray as he comes that you would just bless him with the words that you've given him, and that that would be a blessing to us also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome previously. I really love this service that we always try to do every year, because we listen to the story. We let God's word tell us what it's all about. It's the story of redeeming grace, and it's so lovely to do that. And we've gone again, as the old words say, we've been to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And we've seen the babe laying in a manger, and we've heard the singing of the angels, we've heard the wonderful message of great joy, which will be to all people. There's a lot of joy about Christmas. There ought to be, because it is a wonderful time when we understand the grace and the mercy and the love of God to us, which surely we need more than anything else. There's also a lot of singing associated with the coming of Jesus into the world. Our title for this third week of Advent is Joy and Peace. So I want to reflect that really in what we look at just for a minute or two this evening in the Song of Mary, because as I say, there's a great deal of singing, and Mary's singing is full of joy and full of praise. And I hope we can join her in praising the Lord for his wonderful grace. I thought about singing, really, because we do a lot of singing in the service. You know, we're kind of ready for the mince pies and mulled juice afterwards. It's we think we've earned it because we've stood up so many times to sing and so on. But singing is beneficial for you. It's good for you to sing. And people who are in choirs and stuff will know that actually you open your lungs, you sing, you know, it's good. It's good for you to do that. Famously, Gareth Malone has made people discover singing over the last few years, as he's coached people to sing in choirs and things. And it's very interesting to see that happening, and the joy on people's face as they discover the joy of singing. But you see, singing is biblical as well. The Old Testament has 150 psalms. They're the hymn book of God's people, God's ancient people. They're not all joyful songs. Some of them are laments. Some of them are frustrating cries to God to know his peace again in a circumstance and so on. And you know, that's absolutely right, because as we walk through the world, as we walk through our life, we come through all sorts of different experiences and emotion. Just understand that God has a song for you wherever you are. I thought also that there was singing when God created the world. The morning stars sang forever. It says they sang when God created the world. Well, that's massive, isn't it? The creation of the world, that's a massive thing. Friends, what we're reading about today and listening to this evening is massive as well, because it's about the remaking of people who have lost their way because of the entrance of sin into the world and so on. We haven't sung this one, but one that has this word, you angels, you who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. You see what I mean? Singing is also a great blessing. I came across this quote from, I think we can, we're here with this chap. 1st of December, and my local radio station is playing Christmas music, and I'm exhilarated. But soon, I think I've had enough of Christmas songs. I think possibly reading between the lines, he's not thinking of hymns. He's thinking of, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas or something like that. Which are all very well for once or twice, but and this is what the man said. At Christmas time, give me traditional carols. Give me substance. Give me something bigger than myself. Well, friends, in the readings that we've had and the songs that we've sung, this is something bigger than ourselves, isn't it? It's something that's so massive and big that it will help us. No wonder. I want to be brief, so I'll miss out some of it. Our best Christmas music recognises that we are singing about things we can't fully grasp. The carols of Christmas awaken in us the knowledge that God visited the world, and this changes everything. Well, very quickly, just three things from Mary's song. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55. And if you have a Bible and you want to look at it, that's fine. Otherwise, just listen. Try to be succinct and brief. So we see some wonderful things here. So Mary is bursting into song because of her great joy of meeting Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit was there, and Elizabeth's baby is leapt in the womb. It's a wonderful story, that. We're not talking about that this evening necessarily. And I've had this on my mind for this last couple of weeks. And I'm thinking, why was Mary singing this song, My Soul Does Magnify the Lord? Why was she doing that? What was she really singing about? Can we join her song? So I want to notice three things about her song. First of all, Mary is singing, about the greatness of the Lord. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. The old version says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And in that sense, it's called the Magnificat, from the Latin word. People have been aware of this song and singing this for nearly two millennia. I should think. Of course, Mary can't magnify the Lord in the sense that we magnify something. When we are getting older, we have a magnifying glass so we can read the small print, because they print things much smaller now, don't they? We all know that. Everything's much smaller print, you see. Actually, it's the fact that we need glasses. We don't have a phone book now, do we? But they, oh my word, how do you get a number out of the phone book without glasses, you see? God doesn't need you or I to make him bigger. He's as big as the universe. He's massive. He's big. And so what Mary is doing is making him big to her, in her situation. In her experience, I want to know this great God who has come to me and told me that I have to bear this child, and who's going to make such a difference in the world, and so on. And really and truly, I felt that was a wonderful idea. I want to know God bigger in my life. And I suggest that you ask God to help you for that as well, really. Christmas tells us, you see, that God is great. Sadly, people are increasingly bumping into people who say, well, I don't do Christmas, I don't do it. See, gentleman said that to me the other day, and then 10 minutes later when I turned to leave, he said, "Happy Christmas." I said to him, "You don't do Christmas. You don't do Christmas. Christmas is God's big." I want to suggest to you just for a minute that God's greatness is seen in the very Christmas story, because you'll understand what I'm saying, because it's full of surprises. And in one sense, it looks as if it's not working. It's full of impossible things. And God is great, and he overcomes all these things. Let me list them for you for a minute. If we think about Mary having her baby and so on. In one sense, in the culture of that time, she wasn't married. And we know that was a problem for Joseph and for her in various ways. So you've got, if you like, the wrong person. I'm not suggesting Mary was the wrong person, but you understand what I mean. It's not straightforward, is it? There's a hitch, there's a problem. What are we going to do with this pregnancy now? And the other thing is that they came from Nazareth. Do you know the city of Nazareth isn't mentioned in the Old Testament at all? It's there in the New Testament, and nobody thought very much of it. You remember Nathanael and fig tree meeting Jesus. They said, "Well, he come from Nazareth." "Nazareth," he said. "Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. It wasn't a good place to be." God says, "Here are these people who live in Nazareth, and I'm calling them to be part of my Christmas story." Indeed. They, of course, lived in the wrong place, because Bethlehem was the place, wasn't it? And Herod is the only person not singing, okay, in the Christmas story. He's the only person not singing, for very good reasons, unfortunately. Do you think about this? Bethlehem. They've got to be in Bethlehem. So this great God moves the Roman Empire to bring these people to Bethlehem. You tell me God isn't great? You tell me God isn't great when he sends his son into the world to take upon himself human flesh, to be with us, to be ours, to die for our sins and so on. That's the greatness of God. He's big enough to do that. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember, Christmas is about God. The greatness of God. But Mary also praises the goodness of God. "He has looked with favour on the humble condition of his servant, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. He has done great things for me, and his name is holy." Mary is thanking God that he has blessed her, and we should understand that that's absolutely the way it is. She's in one sense an ordinary person, but she's blessed of God because of her part in the gospel story. But in blessing Mary, you see, God has made his goodness available to all mankind. So we may say God is good. God is not only great, but God is good, and he looks with favor upon us. God long ago promised through Abraham that the world would be blessed through Abraham. And that's another miraculous story, isn't it, about things that are impossible, didn't work and so on. That there would be one come who would be the Lord, the kingdom, that he would be far greater than anything that had ever been seen before. Even the mighty Roman Empire had to stand aside, as it were, while Jesus comes to be born in the stable and in the manger. You see, God's greatness has made possible his goodness. He has bridged the gap. He's brought lost people, darkened in understanding and mostly unaware of the greatness of God, into his family through the birth and life and death of Jesus. I heard something very interesting recently. It was a quotation from a man called Griffith Thomas, who's a writer from years ago. He said this: the Old Testament is a book of unfulfilled prophecies, of unexplained ceremonies, and of unsatisfied longing. When I first heard that, I thought, is that really true? Yes, of course it is. Of course it is, because the Old Testament is a preparation for the New Testament. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who resolves that problem, that difficulty, that he is the one who fulfills the prophecies in his life. He is the one who explains the ceremonies in his death on the cross. He is the one who satisfies those longings that hang in the air in the Old Testament, and possibly even in our lives today. We have a sort of longing for something which we don't really understand all it is. I would suggest, until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes into the world at Christmas, who satisfies our longings in his victory and resurrection. He is unique. He is the one you need. He is the one who has come for you as well. Mary praises also the grace of God. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. These verses celebrate God's fantastic grace to people. You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. It is the way that God blesses people, not because they're good, not because they're great, not because they're rich, not necessarily because they're poor, but because he shows his love to them. And he sends the Lord Jesus to explain that and give us the idea that this grace which comes from God is entirely from him. You'll notice in the rest of the reading, it's all about he. He does this. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God. He has done a mighty deed. He has scattered the proud. He has toppled the mighty. He has satisfied the hungry. He has helped his servant Israel. It's all about the greatness of God, isn't it? His grace to us, undeserved and unlooked for many times. And you know, the Lord Jesus comes into the world as the baby. He doesn't come to tell us how to be saved. He comes to save us from our sins and our estrangement from God. I found this quotation, I love this: the baby in the manger took our humanity so that he might bear our iniquity. You know, Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus, surely he has borne our iniquity. You know, that wonderful pattern, with his stripes we are healed. He has borne our sins and sorrows. This is redeeming grace. And so these verses talk about the proud being scattered and all that sort of thing. What's that all about? Well, it's really telling us that God's grace is for anyone and everyone who will trust him. The God of grace, the God who is great, the God who is good, and the God who is gracious. Mary's peace, that's Mary's joy we've talked about, really. I don't know whether I mentioned that, never mind, doesn't matter. But Mary has peace, doesn't she? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Wonderful that Mary points us to the Saviour, the one who we must trust in and believe in. I want you to think about Mary's song and take those words to your heart. And whether you're a Christian tonight or not, come before God and say with Mary, my soul, yes, you, me, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit will rejoice in God my Saviour. Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross, and being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, peace that passes understanding. Peace is offered to the whole world. It is possessed by those on whom his favour rests, people who share their faith in Jesus. We've been looking at a little book in Advent, and this is the way it finished the other day. Because the Saviour lay in the manger that night, there is nothing to fear on earth and everything to hope for in heaven. Sit still for a moment and give God all the glory by consciously enjoying the peace he has established through Jesus. Let's be still for a minute. Father God, you are glorified in making peace with us through your Son. Make us conscious of this peace today, that it may rule our hearts and govern our relationships. Give us the angels' insight. Fill us with their joy. In the name of Jesus, the Lord in the manger. Amen.